I am so proud and pleased to be part of this ministry in regards to missions. The last few weeks when all these presenters have been sharing what's going on, this is Bible Baptist Church that supports these ministries. These people, where do our funds, where do our monies go? A lot of them go to support these kinds of ministries around the world. So as you are moved by the Lord to give and support the ministry here, you're really supporting the ministry worldwide. It's not just here in Kokomo. It is that, but it goes all around it. And I'm glad to see the faces, aren't you? And some of the things that Tim and Janice were sharing, man, it just struck a chord. I'm going to tell you right now, God is doing a great work around the world today. I don't know, somebody, we can look at America, we can look at Kokomo, sometimes we can look at our own community, our own church and go, oh. I'm going to tell you what, it's exciting what God's doing. And some of the places that I've been, some of the remote villages as well, and I mean remote, and I've got some pictures of that in a few weeks, you'll see. God is raising up people, 1, 2, 5 at a time, 10 at a time, 50 at a time. He's doing his work. You can be encouraged that this gospel is being spread around the world. And so as we consider that, I want you to take your scriptures now and open up to John chapter 4 for a few moments. I just want to share with you, in light of our theme here about sowing for a global harvest, how the Lord Jesus Christ did that himself comes from a very familiar text. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and we'll work our way through a part of this chapter as time allows. But there are some very important principles here that we find in these verses that are very exciting, and I hope they'll be reminders to you because you already know, many of you, these things. May God use it to help us be motivated for Him. Because I don't want to just hear about what God's doing over in Africa. I'd like to hear what God's doing in Kokomo. Let's read. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Father, I pray for the few minutes that we have, that you will open our hearts and minds to be touched once again with not just how you went about doing ministry, but how we're called to do the same. For we are called to go ye into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. And I pray even now, Lord, that we would remember that in regard to go ye into all of Kokomo and Howard County and preach this gospel to every creature. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing we see here is that Jesus was very intentional about his sowing. I know that many of us have the attitude, and actually I'm not opposed to it, that, hey, you know, as God gives me opportunity, if somebody walks up to me and, hey, you know, I'll share Jesus with them. That's good. I like that attitude. That's good. But I want you to understand that when it comes to the call of the gospel, it's intentional. We're called to go. We're called to invade. We're called to go into enemy territory. We're called to go to them. I used to remember that hymn where we would sing a lot, you know, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the field of sin, right? Got that? Okay, that's true, but really that song would have been better to me if it had said, go get them, go get them, go get them, they're in fields of sin. And that's what we have Jesus doing here. He's very intentional with what he is all about, and he has this idea, the phrase, and it's very much debated if you ever do any study in this, about he had to go to Samaria. Why did he have to go to Samaria? Without giving you the 14 different views on all these things, let's just say that Jesus made an intentional choice to go through that area because there was someone there he needed to meet. And so he did it. He didn't say, well, God, if you send that person to my door, I promise I'll open up the Bible, I'll give them the four spiritual laws or whatever. He went intentionally to that individual. When I was in Mongolia, I'm going to give you a few Mongolia stories here this morning, but a lot more in a few weeks. One of the pastors there, I talked to him, but right before I flew on the plane, I said, hey, you know, what y'all been doing? He says, well, our church has been making these gospel trips. He calls them gospel trips. That's kind of a neat phrase. Okay, what is that? Well, a bunch of us get together. We get all our supplies. A lot of food's involved. And then they go out to these remote places, these villages, and they spend all day there. It sounded to me like a Bible club almost, but was for all ages. And they go into the town and they do these ministries, these gospel trips, with the hope that someone will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You do realize in Mongolia that when the communists finally left the seat of power in the early 90s, when the wall went down in Berlin and now it was open for freedom, there were very few Christians. I don't know how they come up with these stats, you know, people that were statisticians. But they said there was one Christian in Mongolia in 1990. I'm going, where did you find them? But anyway, there were a few, we could say that. But since then, there's at least 25,000 Christians, and maybe a lot more than that. And what we're seeing is that it's people like this who just make these remote, intentional trips to go somewhere trying to plant these seeds. Hey, whether you're a child, whether you're a teenager, whether you're a young adult, or whether you're a senior saint, it doesn't matter. They're just planting these seeds, hoping it'll grab onto it. And what's happened, what he shared with me, is that what's going on is that indeed people now are forming small churches. What do you mean by that? I'll show you what I mean by that. I'm talking about 4 or 5 people. Is that a church to you? Now, in America, we may not say that's a church. I think that's a church, especially where they're at, especially if you see some of the villages I've seen. There aren't too many people that live there. And so they start these groups, and they start teaching and preaching this gospel, and it starts to spread. And I'm going to talk more about what's happened since the first time, about 10 years ago that I went, and now with some of those churches. You don't want to miss those stories. But I also had an opportunity as well, you know, you have to be intentional. So on the airplane ride home, I had a few hours to kill. 32 to be exact. Yeah, oh, it's right. So on the way home, you all probably are all here and have been here before, so you could track with me on this one. Okay, Lord, who am I going to sit next to? And what am I going to do? So I had to make a decision, and it's always the scary decision, but you just got to do it. Lord, whoever you put me next to, I'm just going to take the time and be intentional. I'm going to share the Lord with them. And so I got on the plane, you know how they have groups 1, 2, 3, 4 and all that. I was group like 97. So I was like the last guy on before the pilot walked on or whatever. And going to the back and everyone's got their stuff. And there's the one seat available on this plane that sits hundreds of people. Now we're going to be on this. This particular leg was like 13 hours. And so we're going to be together a while. And there's this young man. I fell in love with that young man instantly. He looked American. He wasn't Mongolian, I can tell you that. And we were flying out of Korea. He didn't look Korean either. And I just said, okay, Lord, thanks. Could have been one of my own boys, right? I sat next to him, and right away, I didn't wait. I didn't need to pray anymore. I didn't need to fast anymore. It was game time. The football had been kicked. So before I even sat down, hey, my name's Keith. What's your name? And he shared his name. He was real talkative. We got going. Come to find out, he's in the military. And he's stationed in South Korea. And I just started talking more and more and more and more with him, back and forth. And I had to be real intentional with that. And we just talked about things for a while. And I'm gonna expand on this story in a little bit, okay? So I'm going to leave it for now, but I just wanted you to know that if you're going to pray, God, I want to make a difference in the lives of people, you have to be more than just willing to respond and to give an answer for the hope that's within you, right? You want to do that. You got to be intentional. That means you got to cross the road. That means you got to do those things. You can't just wait for people to come up to you. So Jesus is very intentional here. He wasn't waiting for any conversation to come up. In fact, she wasn't going to talk to him probably anyway. That's a cultural thing. And he broke all the cultural norms anyway by talking to her, which is our next point. He not only sows intentionally, he sows humbly. He's very humble. I want you to think about this. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you think about that when you're reading the gospel? This is the King. And he isn't sitting on a throne. What's he doing? He goes and sits on the ground. The ground. He deserves a throne. He sits on the ground. He's where the people are at. There's a lot of things going on here. There's racial issues. There's ethnic issues. There's gender issues happening here. He's crossing a lot of barriers that people would go, even the disciples, if you remember the story, when they go, what's he doing talking to her? She's a Samaritan. First, it's a she. You don't mess. You don't talk with that, with a woman there. And a Samaritan, no way. I mean, he humbles himself. He doesn't listen to all that rhetoric that mankind has made up. He says, I'm going to humble myself. Now, you got to understand, this is a big deal. There's a lot of history between the Samaritans and the Jews. If you're not sure about that, just go back and read Ezra and Nehemiah once again. I mean, they're doing everything they can to shut down the building of the wall and the worship in the temple and all that. You can read that on your own. It's good afternoon reading. Besides, the Colts aren't playing anyway. I'm not sure they played on Thursday either, but anyway. So here, careful Packers fan. So humbly he sits down. Intentionally he's waiting, and here she comes. And he just breaks through it all because he's got a purpose involved, and it's to share God with her. Now, we can let things get in our way of sharing with certain people, especially people we do not like. We can't do that. We have to humble ourselves and realize that the only reason we are even have a relationship with God is because God, through his great grace, allowed someone to share this gospel with us. Amen. And I'm glad they weren't prejudiced. They opened up the scriptures and shared. So he sowed very humbly. He sowed intentionally, he sowed humbly, but he sowed very strategically. Now, did you notice here, and it's obviously, this is a summary, right, of a longer period of time, the conversations. But Jesus didn't just start with quoting Bible verses here. Did you notice that? Did you notice the first thing he did? He didn't say John 3:16 or Romans 3:23. He had a conversation with her about common things that are going on in life. Now, back to the airplane. And I'll get to those pictures in a minute. This is really cool. So, on the airplane, I thought, okay, I learned this from the years of working with Evangelist Explosion. One of the best things you can do, and if you're nervous about it, is that you can simply start talking about people and their lives. You say, I don't know what to do, but I'm so scared to search you. Calm down. Ask them questions about them. And so for about a half an hour, because this guy was talkative, I think he hadn't talked like this for a long time. And he just started opening up. We were talking about what he did on the base, how long he'd been in the service, what does he want to do in the future, what's his family, his mom and dad, where is he from? And by the way, he's from Detroit, and that's where he was heading off to. He hadn't seen his family in 2 years. You know, there's a lot our soldiers go through, aren't there, in there. So he was so excited to see them again. And we talked about his family, and we talked about his got into the place, hey, did you go to church anywhere up there? That's a simple question. It's not threatening. Besides, I've already spent 15, 20, 25 minutes talking to him about his life. He wants to talk to me. I'm not beating on him. And so he says, oh, yeah, well, I grew up Roman Catholic, but I don't follow that anymore. It was really discouraging. He said, you know, it wasn't the formal thing so much. It wasn't my thing, but... And then he went on, I'm not going to get in all that. And I said, well, where do you go now? He says, well, I've been attending this non-denominational church. And I said, well, what do they teach? You see what I'm doing? I am just trying to witness through asking questions. And then you ask him about faith. You ask him about heaven. You can ask him about all these things. And he's talking all this out. And by answering questions, you're finding out about him, and he's feeling more comfortable with you. And we finally get on the subject of Jesus. He raised it, not me. He raised it. Because he said in his comment, I don't know where he heard it, he said, well, it's really all about Jesus anyway. I went, interesting. Now, see, what would be the temptation? You'd want to quote a verse. You'd want to add theologically. No, you ask another question. How... or what do you mean by that? I find that fascinating. And I did. I wanted to know what he's thinking. And so he says, well, you know, it's about faith in Christ. I said, where did you get that from? And the Bible. Yeah, that's right. I think his name was Josh or Joshua. Great Bible name, right? I said, Joshua, you're exactly right. I said, it doesn't matter what church you go to. I mean, it does matter in regards if you want to get teaching and things like that. But in regards to God, it's about Jesus and trusting in him by faith. He said, that's right. I said, Josh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. That's exciting, man. And I'm so thankful for your service to our country. And we went on and on and on and talked. So you have to be very strategic when you talk with people. The Holy Spirit will help you with this. And it'll be different with each person. But that picture up there, this is from one of my translators for the week. That it's church. I spoke at two different churches. When I first got there, I spoke at a church in a very remote area. I'll have pictures of that in a few weeks. You'll want to see that. And then, and you don't want to miss some of those pictures. But then the second Sunday after we were done, I went to my translator's church. He lives in the capital city. 1.5 million people live in this one city. And the population of the whole country is only like 3 million. So there's a lot of people here. And he lives in a very poor section of the town. And way on the other side of the tracks. We've been there before, and I'll try to show you the before and after pictures. But so I said, what are you doing? Because I noticed that as I walked in, his church was much different than the first time I saw it, like 8 years ago. It was a lot different. He'd done a lot of remodeling to it. They had added on to it. And he says, well, I want to show you what we're doing. Okay, so he takes me into all these little rooms. They're not big rooms, but they're specifically designed. One of the rooms on the lower right there is the music room. So he's made this one room, and he gives music lessons. He's got people coming in. Yeah, it's called the Wendy Murphy room. Gives music lessons, and they just come in for that. But in the process of doing music lessons, they're giving Christ to them. But right next to that, and it's where that chessboard is, I think, or it might be, I don't know if I'm getting that right, but it's one of the rooms, that chessboard. They have a chess club started. Come to find out, I didn't know this, because this particular translator, he's Mongolian, and he was getting in a lot of trouble in Mongolia. He has an interesting story. I'll give you the one-minute version. This teenager in Mongolia, he was in a lot of trouble. He was in with the wrong crowd. His mother saw it, said, I'm getting you out of here. She sends him to America. It's a little radical, isn't it? So there must have been some family in Chicago. So he lived 10 years. He said, it saved my life. Because I was going the wrong way. She got me out of there. Comes to know Jesus Christ. So he joined a school and joined a chess club. And they had the number one team, the chess club, in America, apparently. So he's really good at it. He's one of the best chess players at the time. So he uses that strategically to reach out to kids. But in that other room, which I don't have a picture of, it's a library they're building. There's a public school near them. They don't have a library like that. And he's strategically saying these kids, and what is happening is they're coming. It's a safe place. They can come. They can read books. They can study. They have the music room. They have the game room. He's being very intentional, very strategic about reaching out. And kids are coming to Christ. In fact, while I was there after service, he holds a special session for some of the kids who want to go deeper in their discipleship. And I think there were 5 girls and 1 boy that were there receiving instruction on how Pastor Dan, not just giving them discipleship, he was giving them the books that they were going to use with their friends when this was done to disciple them, which is what it's all about. Very strategic. God's doing an amazing work around the world. Jesus is very strategic here. He doesn't just throw Bible verses at this girl right away. He gets into her life, and then he gets into her life, her deepest need. So intentional, humble, strategic. But I want you to notice real quick as we close up here, because we're out of time. several important things about Jesus that are important. In verses 9 through 16, I'm not going to read that section. I want to read another one. But if you read through that, he's very patient with her. They're going back and forth. She's not getting stuff. He's okay. It's all right. He's very patient. He doesn't get impatient. He takes time with her. There's a Mongolian wife that I was able to interview through Zoom last month with some other folks as well that were in that interview about her story, and this was her story. She had come to know Jesus Christ a few years ago, but her husband was real leery about it and was scared to death to go to a church because he had grown up Buddhist, didn't know all about that stuff. And they had a lot of marital problems. She comes to know Jesus, and all of a sudden things start to change. Things changed so much, but it took about 2 years. She was very patient. But he said, there's something different about you. I'm going to go to this church and see what's going on. He comes to the church, hears the gospel, trusts in Christ as his Savior. Patience. Patience. It takes time. I know some of you have been praying for people for who knows how many years, right? A long time. You don't need to give up on that. You don't have to give up on your kids or your grandkids or your best friends or even yourself. God is doing an amazing work, and Jesus is very patient with her. But I do want you to read, I want to read this part in 16 through 18. Jesus didn't avoid the real issues that were going on. He said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you're right saying that. I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. So, whoa. First of all, that's kind of an intimidating counselor, isn't it? How would you like to go to counseling and have the guy know everything about you before you open your mouth? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. So Jesus didn't avoid the issue. So this is another thing about sharing. When you and I share this gospel, it is so important that our lives are matching the Christian life that God's called us to do. That's important. But the problem with so many Christians today, and sometimes even with myself, is that we could stop there. We shouldn't. We must do that. You must be kind. You must be godly and Christian in all your actions. But you cannot avoid the issue. What's the person's problem? They have a spiritual cancer, don't they? They are dead in their trespasses and sin, according to Scripture. And they don't know it. You and I have the opportunity in a kind way. I don't think Jesus was mean here. In fact, he said, yeah, you're right. But he did confront it and said, here's your problem. Here's your problem. So we must do that. We must go through with that and share this gospel, be a clear, clear witness. And so the last part here, 27 through 30, is really very, very powerful. And I think this could help us. Maybe it'll excite some of you. In verse 27 says, just as the disciples were coming back, I guess the conversation's all over. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking to her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can't this be the Christ? And they went out of their towns and were coming to him. So this is what the point here. In all our sowing, does our life create a thirst in others for God? It's really what I want to ask you, and I want to ask myself every day. So I've kind of typed a prayer really quick this morning. I thought it'd be something good for us to really contemplate and think about praying regularly. Lord, I desire for my life to create a thirst for God in others. May I be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within me. May I be intentional, humble, and strategic in my witness for you. Do your words create a thirst in others for God? Do your actions create a thirst? There was something about Jesus, of course he's Jesus, but it's a model, that when she was done talking, even after he confronted her with sin, and you're going, oh, no, they need to know. It's okay. We're all sinners. I have no problem throwing myself under the bus. We're all sinners, and we need the grace of God. When she got done with him, there was something about him so that made her so thirsty. But she didn't go by herself. She went back and got everyone she knew. Apparently, she knew a lot of people in that town. And it wasn't for good reasons. But something so impacted her, it got them thirsty. and they come to see. Look at the end here, 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." That is the harvest we're talking about. And I think we could have it here in our own city. But I will say this, it is a harvest that God challenges you and I with. May God help us to be more than just good, kind, friendly people. May God help us to go beyond just being good Christian people. May God help us to take that step to be very intentional, to be very humble, and to be very strategic. Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, I know that you're doing a work around the world, and yes, you're doing a work in America as well. There are many people that are being called to you, and that we're so thankful for that. But you've called us as your children to be involved in this ministry. Your words were very clear as you ascend into heaven. Go ye into all the world and preach this gospel. So for us, it's go into the world that I'm in. That's right here. Lord, I pray that we would be very intentional and humble and strategic in the way that we move forward with this word and not just leave it up to our missionaries or our church leaders to do this. This is something for all of us, for we are all ambassadors for Christ. So may we be sowing this seed generously and watch what you do. Even though we're not involved in every aspect, we are involved and you're using that to reach people for you. Well, we want to pray for a harvest for our own church here as well. Kokomo and the Howard County continues to need folks who are willing to go out and share the gospel. Even as if we added all the attendance of all the churches in our city and our county here, it probably doesn't come up to 20% of the population. There's a lot of people that need the Lord. So help us to be willing to sow for thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
I invite you to stand. We're going to remind ourselves.